This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
We are back.
Back again.
So what are you doing?
What am I doing right now?
You're giving me problems because I was emailing somebody and now we started recording and you're on the phone, not giving me the time of day.
You've been bugging me about getting our son in karate, which he has no...
I wanted to be a karate kid.
Yes.
Because, you know, my crush was Ralph Macchio, so I need him to be...
He has no interest. But
he has no interest? Yeah, he does.
He might be getting a little more interest, but...
He does. He asked me, Mommy, when are we going to go and look at some karate classes?
Well,
he asked me.
He's having his first class on Friday, so let's see what happens.
You didn't tell me that. What time? Why, Eric? I'm not available. What time?
That's fine. I'm available.
No freaking way.
I'm off.
You're going to go without me when it was my idea.
No, he's going
No,
Friday.
For real.
I'll take video.
Eric, stop.
I'm serious.
When is the
Remy's
class?
Remy's going too.
I don't care. When is the class?
Friday. I just
At
told
what
you.
Time?
We are on the podcast right now. Why are we talking about our schedule?
Eric.
Okay. We'll talk about this later.
Listen to me.
Okay.
No,
so
I have an 8:30 at
we
one.
Okay. We're not going to talk about your schedule right now. We're on the podcast.
Okay. I'm not available Friday.
Okay.
So
can
cancel.
We stop talking?
Okay, karate class has been canceled, just so you know. It's been canceled.
It's been canceled.
Until next year.
It
for
not
sure.
Been canceled. No,
for
it sure. Hasn't. There's other family involved.
It's not going to
okay,
happen.
Okay, you'll be on FaceTime. So anyway,
This freaking guy.
Well,
this is unbelievable.
When you make the schedule,
this
you have the luxury.
Unbelievable. No, you ask me what's my schedule, especially if it's my idea.
I didn't even plan on being able to go. I thought our nanny was going to take him.
I'm going to take him. I want him to do karate.
Well, you're not available.
I'm pissed off. I don't want to do the podcast anymore.
All right.
Oh my God.
There's an inside track to us making a schedule for something. That wasn't supposed to happen. But anyhow, what we were going to talk about was something much crazier that happened this week. We decided to get involved. And listen, this is all my fault, so I might as well.
He almost burned the house down. That's what happened.
It's not far from truth. It's not far from
them,
truth.
Tell them what you did. So I smoked again. You know that we got a smoker and we did smoked chicken for Thanksgiving. So we were going to do it again and use it again. And then what happened?
She told me to go. I was multitasking.
Let me get the pictures.
Wasn't correct. Shouldn't have done that. And I went out to collect the wood chips from the smoker. And again, as I say this in my head, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Clearly, I'm not. oh my God. Was not playing with the full
You're
deck of cards.
You're not very smart.
Wow. Thank you. So I took the wood chips out of the smoker and they didn't seem like they were hot anymore. They seemed fine. And I was in a hurry and I dumped them into a Whole Foods paper bag, which right there, I know just sounds ridiculous that I even did that, but still no smoke. They seemed fine. I had to rush into the house for something. I set them on top of our barbecue, which has like the whole barbecue, the granite, everything's covered with a custom cover that was built because it's an odd shape. And I forgot to go back out there and grab the bag. And I was doing Legos with Dylan and Rosalind came in, sat down, da da da. And then all of a sudden she walked out to the kitchen and yelled, "Eric!" And our entire barbecue was up in flames. Okay. I'm talking like full.
This is after
flames.
The fact, just so you guys know. Wait, this is after the fact. There's no flames over here. This is after the fact. There's no flames over here.
It was literally, we have
right?
Like there's palm trees that have dried, you know.
But yeah, this is what happened.
Fronds near them. And I mean, it was not far from the house. She's screaming. I'm grabbing the hose. We're hosing the whole thing down. Flames are going all over the place because the barbecue cover has now whipped onto the stucco. Basically, it burnt all the stucco. It melted the cover into our barbecue, into the burner, onto the sink. Destroyed. Everything destroyed. We completely have to now redo the top of our barbecue. So it turned in, it's like now it's a $6,000 dinner.
It's a six, and then who's going to pay for that? Because it wasn't my fault. Or is this a joint expense?
Yeah, I'm sure this is a joint expense.
But
I'm sure
why?
You've made, sure
you've but never think about it.
You've
why?
Made some mistakes that I paid
no,
for.
No, I have never burned down the house or a problem.
I'm
like
sure
that.
There's. I'm sure there's a joint.
I think you should pay. For it.
For sure. You've done something that I've contributed money to.
If I would have done that, guys, I'll be paying for it.
No, she would not. Oh my God, that's such a lie.
Anyways,
but that was the joy of our week.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was very unlike you.
Super unlike me. I'm spread thin, guys. I'm spread thin. I can only manage so much.
Okay.
I melted down. I'm going on very little sleep still. It was crazy. Anyhow, that's one of the joys of our week that has taken place.
It was bananas. It was actually very scary. I saw that, and thank God that I didn't catch the palm trees and nothing, because it would have been a different story.
Oh my gosh, the fire department would have been there for sure.
Oh my God.
But speaking of redoing things, we are also excited because we're going to be redoing this podcast space that we have. It is super uncomfortable because all the furniture I ordered that she approved. But guys, too small.
I approve. Okay.
The couch, it looks
because
fine on the
Eric,
video.
Eric is a cheapo. It was a cheapo. And then Eric, of course, is always trying to find the save some money, save some bucks and getting the deal. So he went to Amazon and found the cheapest little sofa possible. It looked beautiful. It looked cute.
You approved it.
Because I look cute on the thing. But I realized a $200-something couch. That feels like cheaper than freaking IKEA. But anyway,
our playroom wasn't that expensive. It was like $1,200. But it's a great couch.
But it's $1,200, not $200. There's a big difference. It's a big jump. Okay.
So we're missing $1,000 of our couch.
Exactly. So this thing, I wish you guys could see. Eric doesn't even fit.
Well,
right?
Because the table we also got is really uncomfortable.
Because you're terrible at decorating. Wow. And you're cheapo. If I would have done it the way I will do things.
We have like a $50,000 couch.
We have a $50,000 couch and it'd be amazing.
We'd rebuild the whole place.
I had wallpaper that I bought, this wallpaper, but it was very difficult to find somebody to install stick and peel wallpaper because he wants to go the cheap route. So of course it's not real wallpaper. It has to be
wallpaper. It's paper that goes on a wall. It's real wallpaper.
It's like the difference between the one that you put glue.
You would never know the difference.
Or the one that is like a little kid.
No one would have known the difference.
He wanted stick and whatever. So I bought it. And then of course it was too difficult to find somebody that would install that. We don't know how to do it.
The point.
So
the
it got returned.
The
good news is that this little podcast place, it's going to be renovated.
Massive
by Jeff Lewis. Jeff Lewis from Bravo. Flip It, I think it was the name of the house.
Yeah, I think so.
No, that was not the name. Anyway, so huge show, many seasons.
That was a terrible transition.
Many seasons.
Jeff Lewis. What is that? Say to that?
Flip Out with Jeff Lewis. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Anyways, so now he has a new show for Amazon. It's called Home Renovation something.
I thought it was for Amazon IMDb. IMDb. Amazon owns IMDb.
Anyways, he is going to renovate our room and it's going to be a surprise and I cannot wait. So when we come back next year, we are going to have a brand new, he said, Ella Dijo.
Flipping Out.
Flipping Out. That's the name.
Show.
Jeff, my apologies.
You're close, you said Flip It.
My apologies, Flipping Out.
But we're going to have an amazing, comfortable space. I hope he puts beanbags because all I want are beanbags.
There's not going to be any beanbags, Jesus Lord. Hercules!
I just want beanbags. I love beanbags.
It's going to be any beanbags. It's going to be, I already have the vision of what I'm going to tell him, what I'm going to pitch.
So we're going to have a nice new podcast.
Of course, he's a creative
space.
Person here. So he's going to do what he does. But of course, he wants to know my input. You're not invited or included. So I'm going to do it and it's going to be great.
Very happy about it. Why do you have this big smile on your face? Like you just won.
I don't know.
That was like Rosalyn from 20 years ago smiling. Like, so happy.
What do you mean by that?
I didn't know you 20 years ago. 15 years, 16 years ago.
So 15 years ago, I was always smiling. And what do I do now? What do I do now?
You had this cute, like young, like, ee, I did it.
And I don't do that anymore?
Do you?
Of course I do.
Let me see.
No?
No, you do. You do. You're happy. We're excited.
Am I all gummer? Like, ugh.
Oh, wow. I've said wow like 10 times already.
Oh my God.
I'm so tired.
We're losing our bananas.
I'm losing my mind. I'm so tired because I've been working early all week. And then again, our dog still doesn't sleep. And so we don't sleep. So we're dying on both. We're just burning the candle on both ends.
You know what? I needed this laugh because, you know, it's been tricky back home. Because of the Maraca situation, guys, I'm sure you know Maraca, my beloved daughter, 14 years old. She's very, very, very sick and she's holding strong, but not really. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced having to, how you say that, euthanasia?
Put down a dog.
And I even got gastroenteritis. I'm like sick to my stomach. Thinking about it,
the stress.
Because I she's my life, so I don't want to do that.
She's
but then again, I know where and Dylan and Isabella and you and Archie and Bandit. But she's also part of my. She's an extension of me. Everybody that knows me knows Maraca, and Maraca is my love. And I'm laughing and I'm having a good time here with my husband, and he said, "Ella dijo," and it goes back to, this is crazy, you know, like what perception versus reality, you know, because I announced that I was going to do the New Year's Eve thing, Rockin' mm-hmm. Eve with Ryan Seacrest, you know, and it's such a big thing for Puerto Rico, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And I was so happy. And while I was posting, I posted it because they told me you have to post it at this time and the announcement goes out. And then I did that. And I'm telling the world, this is beautiful. And everybody, the hearts and the comments were just wonderful. And I went back, I went to my shower and I started taking a shower, and I was sitting down on the floor for 15 minutes crying. It's like, people don't know what goes behind the scenes, you know, it's because I was like, if people only knew that I'm very happy, but I'm going through a personal situation that is devastating, and it's insane because it's crazy. So I'm just saying all this because social media is tricky. You know, you see all these people announcing happiness and wealth and victories and all kinds of things. And they give you this idea of what their life
is. Nobody's posting misery. Everybody posts.
And you don't know if they're behind closed doors, if they're actually having issues. Anyways, but why are we talking? I didn't want to talk about this, Eric. I don't want to talk about sad things.
No.
Anyways, so we're dealing with that. So I wonder. I'm assuming every animal lover that owns a dog, you know, at some point,
We've been through it three times now. With my dog, Lily, with our other dogs, Mota, Uzo, Jack, four times we've been through this. And it's it's life, it's reality, it's never easy, but at some point you have to respect the quality of life for the animal. That's the hard part, because, you know, it's one thing for them to live for themselves, but then to live for you is a totally different thing. So we're dealing with it, we're fighting the fight, but it's been a crazy week. So on that note, we're going to have to figure out a way to transition to Adam Rodriguez.
Oh my goodness, Adam, sorry.
Who actually
sorry, puppy.
Is our guest coming in for this episode, which is a great transition from this, because Adam knows all these dogs and he knows our whole life. We've known Adam. Well, you've known Adam forever. I've known him since I've known you, which is 16 years. Yeah. One of my favorite people, just so freaking cool, so talented, just a great dude and has a great family. So I'm just thrilled to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I know. I was just thinking because Adam didn't used to like dogs. I remember that he would come to my house. We were really,
sorry,
really, really
Adam,
close.
I gave you a really great intro. And she was just like, yeah, Adam doesn't like dogs. Mine is not doing well.
Adam is like family to me. So Adam used to come to my house with like my three dogs, and he'll be like, you're out of your freaking mind. Like, get them away. And now he's an animal lover. Yeah, that was because of me. Adam, you love dogs because of me, just so you know. Anyways.
All right. We'll talk to more. Yes. We'll talk to Adam more soon. He is.
Hey guys.
What's happening?
Oh my God, this is what it takes to get together.
I know.
I gotta get a job so I can come to one of your jobs and hang out. Unbelievable.
Haven't seen you in so long.
This is part COVID, part kid life, part living on opposite ends of town.
I feel
so
like
good to see you guys.
The last time we saw you that we were physically with you.
When was
that? Was that Ojai?
No way. No way.
I think so, right?
I think so.
We had one kid.
5 years ago. But George, I don't think Georgie was born yet.
No, it was just Charlie. Yeah, no. That's it.
We were riding motorcycles.
Georgie, it was Frankie.
Georgie just turned five.
Wow.
2 days ago. She turned five.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Since we've been in the same space. We've texted and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I feel like
all the time. I mean, you know.
But I don't think we've actually been together, because I remember we were riding dirt bikes and like crazy people in the mountains.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's, wait a minute.
It makes me sad. No, there's no way. There's no freaking way.
Because Dylan wasn't born yet.
No, definitely not.
No, it was just Isabella.
Yeah, and he's four. Yeah.
So it was a little over 4 years ago then.
Wow.
Or 5 years. I mean, I don't know. Too long. Whatever it
Way
was.
Way too long.
I can't believe we've done that. I know. So Adam, tell people how did we meet, Adam? Like what, 20 something years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Oh my God. Was I doing Roswell when we met?
Yeah.
I can't remember if I was doing Roswell yet or if it came right after, but
maybe right after. Roswell was ponytail, right? You had a ponytail? You had long hair with
a
ponytail?
You had a ponytail?
Yeah.
No.
I want to see pictures of the ponytail.
Then I met you before Roswell.
So I met you before Roswell because you had a ponytail.
Jesus Christ, a ponytail.
I want to see the pictures of the ponytail. Do a flashback Friday, Adam, on Instagram. I want to see the ponytail.
I know Adam with a ponytail.
Oh, my God.
I was just telling her, and I was like, oh, Adam's one of my favorite people, one of the best people I've met, you know, through Roslyn, knowing Roslyn.
Thank you, bro.
And I love you to death. And I had this great intro with you, Adam, before you came on. And then Roslyn's like, yep, he doesn't like dogs, though. He didn't like dogs. Now he's a dog lover.
Now
he's a dog lover because of me. Because when he first came to my house, he was like, can the dogs go away? And I was like, that's how we're going to intro my boy, Adam?
Yeah, he didn't like it. I remember I took offense when he was like, who's this white thing? That's Mota. That's my baby, my life, my daughter. He's like, just keep her away. And Mota would be like, Adam, trying to be all over him. And he wouldn't give her the time of day.
Well, we saw it a little differently. I think Mota was a little bit pushy. And and I was like, okay, Mota, that's enough.
And she'd nudge you.
But over time, yes, I did. I wouldn't say maybe that did have something to do with it. That might have been, I didn't grow up with dogs. We had a dog in my house for like 3 days when I was a kid. My mother worked with a lady. They were moving apartments and they couldn't take the dog to the new apartment. So my mom said, we'll take your dog. So this dog came to live with us, and every chance this dog got would run out of the house.
Like, oh, wow.
I mean, if you opened the front door, the dog was gone. And I spent 3 days chasing this dog around. Poor thing, like, it just didn't want to be there. My father did not like the dog. He's definitely not a dog person. And the dog would shit next to his side of the bed.
Ramon doesn't like dogs? Yeah.
No, he's grown to like them now too. He's softened in his old age as well. I always loved dogs. I loved them, but I just never had one until Boogie. Boogie stole my heart. I gotta say, Boogie really like made me a dog.
I remember the day you told me that. You said, you know what? Oh, we got this dog, and I love this dog. I'm going, I told you.
This little 8-pound Pomeranian that I fell in. You know how I fell in love.
Oh,
with?
I remember Boogie. I met Boogie too.
You met Boogie. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, you met Boogie. You
absolutely,
met Boogie.
I met Boogie.
Eight, 10 pounds.
Yes.
And he broke his leg. He had gotten some teeth taken out. He was still a puppy, and I brought him home, and he was still groggy from the medication. He got on the back of the couch. And he jumped off of the back of the couch. I was like, I actually was like, get down from there. And as I went towards him, he was a little loopy and he jumped off the back of the couch, hit the floor, and immediately was like, and I picked him up and I could tell that the leg was broken, you know? And I was, the way I reacted, this is how I knew I loved the dog, because the way I reacted was exactly how my father would have reacted if I had gotten hurt, you know?
Like pissed off.
And I said, I told you to get off the couch. I told you to get off of the couch. Why'd you jump, you stupid dog? And I'm holding and I'm petting and yelling at him at the same time, like an abusive husband. And in that moment, I was like, oh my God, I feel for this. I love this dog so much. And then, you know, he had a cast on for 6 weeks and like hopped around skipping with the one. Like, it was the cutest thing ever. Aww. And I fell in love with the dog.
Do you guys have dogs now or no?
No, we had three kids.
I know, so you're done.
Like, we had a third kid instead of getting a dog, but now the kids are at the age where they're like, we want a dog.
Yeah. Like,
when you learn to clean up your room, you can have a dog.
You can have a dog. You need to get them a dog.
No, we are. We're going to get them a dog. I can't wait to get a dog, actually, but we got our hands full right now. I'm happy to wait just a little longer.
Can you believe that, Adam? You have three kids. Isn't that like?
I look at Grace all the time, and I'm like, can you believe that we have three children? We both say the same thing to her. Can you believe we have three children? I mean,
it's incredible.
It's unbelievable. I mean, especially when, you know, when we first met. We have a, you know, pretty significant age difference, and I was ready to have a family. I was always ready for, or always wanting that. That was my dream. And you know, when we met, I was like, listen, I gotta have this conversation with you, and I gotta be real, because I'm at the point of my life where I'm really, my my strong desire is to have a family. And I know that you're probably not ready for that at this point.
How old was she when you had the conversation?
She was 20 years old.
She
was 20. She had just turned 20 days before we met.
Wow. And this is the conversation you're dropping on. You're like, listen, I want kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll be completely candid with you guys. I mean, and your entire audience. but you know, when we met, you know, we had no idea what this was going to turn into, but it was slowly, you know, we were starting to realize about each other that we really felt something. And the first time that she said, I love you, I was like, I love you too. And I feel like if we're here now at this point, like I need to tell you where I'm at,
yeah.
You know? And I was like, I love you, but I also really want a family. And, you know, I just want you to know that we need to take this day by day until we get to a point where we either want the same thing or we're honest about wanting different things, you know?
100%.
And I know she was really appreciative of that. And she was like, look, I want a family too. And I was like, well, that's, I love to hear that. And I was like, you know, I just, for whatever reason, I was like, you know, what's the time frame? When do you imagine yourself being ready for that? And I remember where we had the conversation. We were in Atlanta on a road trip. And she's like, I don't know, maybe 5 years. I could see that, you know, and I'm 38 at the time. And I'm like,
five years
seems like a long time to me. I was like, I have to be real with you. And I'm not saying that to rush you. I'm just letting you know, 5 years feels like a long time for me to wait for that at this point in my life, you know?
And when did it happen? How many years after that? After the conversation?
6 months.
No way.
Oh my, was five she happy or was she like, what the heck have you done?
Well, but listen, that was trying, or that was by mistake? Just
by
happened.
Mistake.
Oh, no, she was on the pills.
Oh, wow.
I would never call it a mistake.
No,
it
yeah.
It was not an
accident.
Intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not intentional. It wasn't even accidental. No, yeah. It wasn't intentional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and the reason that it wasn't intentional is because myself, and I'm gonna go ahead and speak for my wife as well, I could never be that smart. I don't know. I you know, this is all God's plan, man.
Yeah,
this
for
is,
sure.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
Not in my hands. This is out of my. You know, the world is gonna do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And
was she crying of happiness? Was she crying because she was like, "What the heck have I done?" Or was she crying because of both?
When was she crying?
Like, we're not crying. You know what I mean? Like, she got the positive result. I'm pregnant.
No.
She was doing everything. She was doing everything right.
I'll tell you a funny story. So, I'm doing a show in Charleston, South Carolina at the time. And I had flown back to LA because Ralph, you guys know my boy Ralph.
Ralph
is getting married. You know, one of my closest friends, his family. And, he's getting married, so I fly back from Charleston, and I get the weekend off. I got a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday off. I had to be back Sunday night. So I get there, I get to LA Friday morning, and I go home, I pick up Grace, she's getting ready. We leave to go up to Santa Barbara, where the wedding is. We drive up there, we have a nice drive, everything's cool. We get to the hotel, we check in, I put the bags down. Everything's great, right? I put the bags down. I literally turn after I put the bags down and I look and she's standing there sobbing. And it was like that. It was like, if you turn your head from Eric now and turn back around and he was sobbing. Okay. And I was like, baby, why are you crying? What's the matter? I mean, it was like out of nowhere. And she's like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, I didn't even react though. In my head, I was like,
yeah,
just completely stunned. Completely stunned and elated at the same time. I was so excited, but I could tell she was, you know, having a moment. So immediately I was like, oh my God, baby, you know, you don't have to cry. This is okay. And you know, immediately I was like, are you hungry? Do you want something from the snack bar?
Are you hungry? Yeah.
which normally I would never spend the money on the snack bar. No.
By the way, neither would I. Adam and I are so similar.
Listeners, let me tell you something. I always complain. I always talk about how frugal and fucking cheapo this one is. Here's another one. This
That's why Adam and I, we get along perfectly well.
Adam is the
we're
same.
Both super frugal.
Unless it's art, then he'll freaking drop whatever amount of money.
only spend it when it counts.
And, yes.
You know, only spend it when it counts. And so she calms down, we settle things down, and I said, look, and we're now, the wedding is about to start. The wedding was that night. It was a Friday night. We got there, let's say 4:30. The wedding was going to start at 7 or 6:30. And I said, look, let me go take a walk. Like, once she calmed down, I was like, I was like, I just need to process this. Because now I'm about to see my family and a bunch of close friends, you know, minutes after I get this news. And I'm like, I need to take a walk. I need to just give me a half hour. I'll be right back. I just need to go get some fresh air and process and just check in. I wanted to see how it felt, really. And she's like, yeah, go ahead. So I go and I take a walk, and I just couldn't stop smiling the whole time. I mean, I knew how I felt. But I also knew that she might not feel the same way. And so I came back and I was like, all right, cool. I thought through it. And I'm like, you know, look, let's go to the wedding. Let's enjoy ourselves. And we'll talk more about this later. And the reason she was crying, I found out later, was because she knew I was going to see all of these people that I love. And she was trying to hold this in until after the wedding, because she didn't want me to have this on my mind the whole time during the wedding. My sweetheart. We go to the wedding, and actually funny, I mean, I'm getting into a lot of details here, but we walk through the doors of the reception, and my mother's standing there. And so she's the first person we see. So I'm like, hey, mom, we hug and kiss. And like within a second, the server with the tray of champagne comes over, and like, anybody want to drink? And it was so funny because it was that first moment where like alcohol was presented, and Grace just, we both looked at each other for a moment. We're like, and she was like, no, I'm fine, thank you. And my mother claims that in that moment
she knew.
Oh, that's okay. Funny.
Your mothers, all they always know, Adam. They always know. They always know.
They know us better than anybody. Yeah. As much as I always hated to admit that, now that I'm a parent,
I know
it's true.
I know.
But so anyway, the weekend goes, and we go to the wedding. We have a great time. The next day, of course, this is the main topic of conversation, and what we decide on is that, look, let's not talk for a week. I had to go back to South Carolina Sunday morning, and I'm going to be gone. Let's just not talk for the whole week. I want you to really think about how you feel about this, and talk to whoever you need, whoever you love, whoever you trust. You talk to anybody you need to talk to, but it shouldn't be me. I don't want to weigh in on any of this as you make your decision, because you know you have a big decision to make. Your this choice is going to, you know, we're going to have a wonderful life together, but you're going to have to make a choice where you're going to forego living a certain way during a certain part of your life, you know. And that doesn't mean your life is over. It's just life is going to be something different, and you have to be the one to make this decision. And I'm not going to weigh in on it until you've decided what you want to do. And then I will be honest with you about how I feel. And so I leave that day, and I get on the plane. I fly to Atlanta to make a connection. And funny enough, I was on the plane with an actor named John Cho.
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
He's awesome.
He's a dad too. And we just got to talking on the plane. This never came up, the subject, but you know, we were talking, what a nice guy. I just always remember him being a part of the story.
Yeah.
We had that. So I get to Atlanta, say bye to him as I'm going to catch my connection, and my phone rings, and it's Grace. And I pick up, and I'm like, well, that was quick. I'm like, you know, we talked about
that was quick.
6 days. I was like, that was about 6 hours, you know? And she's on the other end of the phone, and she says, I made up my mind. She's like, I know what I want to do. I get choked up every time I tell this story. And she says, you know, I spoke to my mom, and there's nothing more important than family. And, you know, I want us to have a family. And I was crying, and I'm like, you know, just so moved by it. And I was like, yeah, biggest smile on my face. I mean, I was over the moon happy. And that was it. That was the beginning of, you know, what's become
of the trilogy
of our journey now. Yeah.
The trilogy. Of the trilogy. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
And I tell you, I mean, I just, you know, and why I say I couldn't have been smart enough to ever plan this is because I could have never known, you know, what was on the other side of it. I couldn't have known how much I could be in love with this woman, how much I could worship her for being the kind of partner and mother that she is. And, you know, everything, you know, even at that point, and I still didn't know. We had the baby and I didn't propose because we were going to have a baby. We waited, we had Frankie. And it wasn't until that year, Frankie was born in April. It wasn't until December of that year that I realized, like, I can't go into 2000. I can't go into 2050. I can't start the new year without this woman knowing that I want her to be my wife, that she is something, the most special thing to me ever. And so I had to rush to get shit together. I ended up using a ring that my grandfather had left to me when he died. And that's how I ended up proposing. But, you know, I don't even know how we began on this story, but that
is,
that's amazing.
That's the pregnancy story.
That's beautiful.
That's how that all rolled out.
That's awesome. So, yeah, and thank you for sharing all this with us, sure. Man, and everybody.
It's incredible,
yeah.
What life, you know, deals you sometimes. Like, you know, you guys were able, at one point you're saying you love you for the first time. And I fully agree with you. Like, you have to be, we've talked about this too, you have to be straight up with what your vision is in a relationship at the beginning, because why do you want to waste each other's time, you know, going through, maybe she doesn't ever want to be a parent. Maybe that's not in her cards. Yeah. And it was just not at that moment, but you never know what curveball life throws you, and it's sometimes the best ball that ever came your way, you know. And
100%. And the other thing too that was a big lesson was, like, you know, there was a time in my life when I would have been like, oh my god, we're 18 years apart, like, there's no way, like, this, we're just too far apart in age at this point in my life for us to want the same things or to, you know, to really fit. And I realized how stupid I sound saying that, you know, like, I realized how stupid I was to think that, because you never know. You don't know what somebody is there to teach you or to show you. And when you make those decisions based on something random and silly, something like age or something like religion or, you know, or race. I mean, you know, that any of these things that you hear people go, oh, you know, and it made it so clear to me. Now I hear people go, oh, I'm looking for love, but I want them to be this and this and this, and they have to have this. And I'm like, why would you limit your, this shit is hard enough to find as it is. The real thing is hard to find.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do not limit yourself, you know, by saying that what you need is only going to exist in these little categories, you know, find the person with the heart that you want, you know, and you'll figure out the rest. You know, if you really want to, you'll figure out the rest.
But. And a big part of that, I think, you know, it's funny. I was talking to one of my co-stars about this in her relationship, and she brought up a valid point. It's like, that person is meant to teach you and help you grow. And if you just put there, like, I want this, 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 and this, there's no growth because you're already getting what you want. So there's nothing to elevate your life, you know, or to learn from this individual, because you kind of have dictated what you're looking for.
You nailed it.
And
because we all want what's easy.
Yeah.
I want what I like. I want what I like.
Adam, I got the easiest one in the book.
Well, you know, we have the same birthday. I know you have the female side of what my wife is.
Exactly.
But minus the frugality. She's not
frugal. I'm not frugal.
She's not frugal.
I'll call you frugal. You know what? You're not representing April 2nd here.
I don't have a negative connotation with frugal. Cheap is one thing.
I'm like you. Cheap. Don't call me cheap.
You're not cheap. You're frugal. You're right. This was cheap and frugal.
I'm not cheap.
I will gladly spend a lot of money on something I think is worth it.
But no, that's not you.
What are you talking about? I spend on something that's worth it, especially if it's going to go up in value. Like, you're going to pay attention to what it is. But I'm not going to go waste $10 on a bag of nuts at the mini bar. Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about. Like, I'm like, that's not.
Eric, that's not you. Who are you kidding?
What?
That's not you.
What's the biggest thing that you've spent money on that does not have the potential to, you know, what's the biggest thing you spent money on that wasn't an asset, that's not something that might potentially grow in value?
For me,
I mean, you guys had a fucking incredible wedding, by the way. Can I curse that, on your show? Should
the
I
wedding,
yeah, that's fine,
that's right.
Probably,
but
the
okay.
Wedding would be the one, and that was
the wedding was insane.
You guys had an amazing
that
wedding.
Wedding was insane.
That
yeah,
was
that was
I just happened to see pictures of it the other day. Did you guys post it or something?
She posted for our anniversary.
Anniversary, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
Eric, definitely. Where do we have the video that we did, like trying to do like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie? Yeah. Do we have that video? Because somebody was asking, Jarlene, one of my high school friends that was at the wedding, said to me, Ross, you should post that because it was very funny, that little thing that we did. And because we lost our house, I don't know if you know this, Adam, years ago they found out asbestos and we lost our house. So we had to redo the whole house. So we lost all the belongings. I don't know that video.
I don't remember that. I forgot. Wait, but the house that you redid anyway.
We lost it and we had to redo it again.
We redid it the first time together.
So yes. I didn't realize that. That's why you redid it the second time.
And we lost.
Because of the kids.
No. I saved the wedding album because they said you need to get rid of everything because for insurance purposes. If you keep anything that is compromised with asbestos,
you just have to sign a waiver.
Say, I can sue because I decided to keep this piece of art or the wedding. So I saved all my fine jewelry and I took my wedding album, but I don't know where's that video.
Oh, it's somewhere. It's somewhere.
I hope.
Sure.
Anyways. So that
was probably one
I
of
was
the,
there when you guys got engaged. That was the one New Year's. That
you were there New Year's in Puerto Rico.
No.
Yeah, he was there.
I just had a bad breakup. I went on the road by myself and I ended up in Puerto Rico.
We had a little New Year's party at the condo.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the condo.
Yes.
I was the lonely bachelor. Broken hearted.
Oh my God. Yeah. So what do you buy that is not an asset? Nothing.
At the wedding, so you could say the wedding.
I'm trying to think,
big vacation.
Yeah, big vacation. But even then, I'll go big vacation.
We'll be at a Motel 6.
Yeah, right before the pandemic, I had booked a big trip for us to go to Hawaii, and it all got shut down.
What happened? Why?
Because the pandemic.
You almost had your chance.
Oh, dear, you're right.
I almost had my chance to do it.
I guess what? It didn't happen, Adam. It didn't happen.
Pandemic. Yes!
He didn't save that money.
He didn't bring it back up again. You know, I want to go to freaking Hawaii. Take me to Hawaii.
Come on, guys. Hawaii's calling.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, we have Rania's apartment. One of my best friends, like my sister, she has at the Montage. Yeah. She has a beautiful place. So you know what? You don't even have to pay for the freaking hotel.
Oh, that's the way.
No, I know. Oh, my
you're
God.
Big into, you're big into art, right?
I love art. I love, you know, I've been into art for a while. I haven't really made a focused collection. I find pieces that I like, but I want to get more into it.
Have you ever sold a piece after buying a piece or all stuff you bought?
I've bought stuff, but I've never sold anything. I actually have some things now that I'm like, I should get rid of this. I don't love it anymore. And I think that is one of the things with art. Like you should love it if you're going to do it. But I actually just met this emerging artist now named Emiliana Enriquez.
De donde? From where?
From here in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, from here in LA. I saw her on Instagram and I just was like, wow, she's super talented. And I've just been connecting with her and helping her out, with a space to create. And she's super cool. So that's I don't know. I'd like to get more into the arts. I mean, as I have time on my hands, I don't know when the hell that's going to happen.
How are you going to do that? Because you're directing, acting, producing.
Yeah, I want to talk
about
that.
Husband, friend, like you're doing it all. What the heck? Good.
You have a lot coming up on your plate. And obviously you've gotten in the producing side of it even more so, directing. Like she said, you have this new Christmas movie that you're executive producing right on Paramount Plus.
Yep.
And then Finding Magic Mike. That's... I want to hear about that project.
Yeah,
that sounds wild.
Where do you guys want to start? I guess we left off on Magic Mike. We can start there.
Yeah, start there.
Yeah, let's start with that one.
You know, when I did those movies, it was such a big learning experience. I mean, I really learned more than I ever expected to about myself playing a male stripper of all things.
Why?
I think the big things were really having to let go and allow yourself to be vulnerable, because literally I was going to be standing around in a G-string. I mean, fully, exposed to the world. And on top of that, just that alone was scary as hell. But then on top of that, I was going to have to dance, which, for those of you that know me, and if you don't, dancing, I love dance, but I'm not very good at it. And, I had never done any choreographed dancing before. And so you know, here I am signing up for this thing and I am going to have to get in the best shape of my life. I'm going to have to dance, which I've never done before. And I'm going to have to be naked, essentially. And I'm going to have to do all of this in front of a director whose work I admired and, you know, and knowing that this was going to be seen by a lot of people. So the lessons that came out of it were really about commitment, about just giving something everything you have. And really just, for lack of a better term, leaving it all on the floor, you know, just giving it everything you have and letting go of what the outcome is, just really not giving a f-. Just going, I'm giving you the best of what I got, and whatever the result is what it is, you know, love me or leave me alone. And there was a freedom that I found in that. There was really a liberation that I experienced by making that kind of commitment and then having to do it in that environment, in that way. And that started to bleed over into other aspects of my life, you know, all of the other jobs that I would approach next, and even just in life itself, whether it was relationships, you know, that was something that I learned through relationships too. I can't give all the credit to the movie. I mean, it's all that was life experience. You know, you realize like what you put into something is what you get out of it. Mm-hmm. And if you give 100%, it really leaves you, with no doubt, you know, like if something's not working,
it's undeniable. You
know, that's it. You know, I gave this everything I have truly. If it's not working, it's probably never going to work, you know, and, and you move on. So there was a confidence and a freedom that came out of that. And then there was this thing that happened with all of the guys that were in the movie, because, you know, I know you guys know Chan and other guys that were in the movie as well. Everybody was a certain type of guy, you know, the type of guy you are, Eric. Like, you know, just an alpha male. You can hold your own in any space and you're not intimidated by other people. But at the same time, you're comfortable enough in your own skin that you can be secure in being who you are without having to front for anybody or be extra tough or extra cool or extra anything. Everybody really was able to be vulnerable and authentically themselves and, you know, and comfortable with each other and not, you know, even though naturally as, you know, I think just as people, we there is a competitive spirit to things. Everybody wanted to be the, you know, in the best shape and everybody was motivated by the next guy to do that. But There was this level of support, this brotherhood that we all experienced while doing both movies that only grew over time. And I wanted the guys on this show to have that same experience, you know, and hope that they would then be able to carry that into their real lives when they left the show. And we all agreed on that. All of the people that were involved in giving the show shape before we started really were clear that this is what the brand is about and this is what we want to, you know, leave these guys with, whether they're the ones to win the $100,000 at the end of the show or they go home first. We wanted them to leave having, you know, experienced something that would help change them, you know, help improve their lives in some way. And I gotta say, I really feel good about it. I feel like all of the guys that participated in the show had a great experience. They learned something and they left better for it, you know, they really did.
That's awesome. It's a complete makeover emotionally and physically.
How many guys are they?
Ten guys.
I
mean, you know, there were, I don't know how many. I mean, tons of guys that submitted. Uh-huh. But we narrowed it down to 10. And, you know, and they're not all the 10 guys that you would expect. I mean, some of the guys are not in great shape. Some of the guys are. Most of them have little to no dance experience. But they are all courageous and they're all showing up because there's something in themselves that they want to either discover for the first time or rediscover. You know, they felt like at some point in their life, they might've had something going on that felt good and they've lost it. And some of them feel like they've never had the opportunity to find that in the first place. And so that's what we're hoping to help them.
And so they win, they get obviously this life-changing experience, but they win money at the end.
Yeah, there's a $100,000 prize and an opportunity to dance with the professionals in the Real Magic Mike Live show in Vegas.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is cool.
And the Christmas movie, Adam, how that one came about? Was this just your idea? You said you found this material? No?
No, I didn't find the material, actually. The material came to me through CBS. CBS reached out, and they had not done an original Christmas movie in over a decade. And they had this script. They sent it, and, you know, to check interest or whatever. And I read it, and I thought it was a great story. I was like, this is, you know, this story is great. And the fact that they were interested in, you know, in having a Latin family, you know, lead this cast and, you know, be the centerpiece of this story, that was important to me. You know, I felt like, look, if CBS is ready to jump back into the Christmas movie space, which we can see now has become a really viable business for a lot of
people. Everywhere.
Everybody's doing it.
I mean, there must be like 60 Christmas movies coming out this year. And I I felt like this was an opportunity to, you know, to represent and to do it in a way that I at least felt like I was going to have a hand in controlling in some way, you know, not controlling totally, but at least my voice was one that was going to be heard.
So you're starring, you're producing. Who else is the cast?
The rest of the cast is, my co-star is a woman named Jessica Camacho, wonderful actress, and just a sweetheart. She was really a pleasure to work with. And we had a great time doing the movie together.
Beautiful.
And, you know, she was really on board for everything we were trying to do. Just super supportive.
And I read something, I think that you said, like, you know, it's like pushing against stereotypes in that regard. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a universal story with Latinos in it. And it's meant to be the way life is. It's not like it has to be a Latino story because it's Latinos. It doesn't have to be a Latino Christmas. It's just a Christmas story, but showcasing. I love that. I read the article about that. That's great.
Yeah, it was really important, you know, and not because those stories aren't important and you know, and don't exist. I mean, you know, we have so many first generation stories that get told, or new immigrant stories that get told. And I just felt like, you know, this script also, it was written for a white family. You know, the family was never intended to be Latin. And when I came on board, you know, I knew that there were going to be tonally, there were going to be things that had to change. And, you know, and that was part of my job, was to, you know, to help make that happen in a way that felt authentic, and also not to hit people over the head with it. You know, it really was about having a family that was well established in America, that had, you know, built a business over at least one generation, that was now going to be handed down to sons of the family and the daughter, hopefully, but there's a twist to that story. But and so I had a longstanding relationship with CBS. I felt good about the you know, the amount of latitude they were going to allow me to have in terms of input, and the story was great. I thought the story as written was really a sweet story, you know, which really in essence is about this woman who is like an angel, who comes into this family that has everything. They actually have each other. They're healthy. They spend a lot of time with each other, but they don't communicate. They're totally disconnected. But meanwhile, they work in the same office. They spend time around each other, and they're totally disconnected. They are not a real family unit. And this woman comes in and just makes everybody realize what they're missing out on and how to put the pieces together. And in the process of doing that, my character falls in love with her.
That's great. So this can be streamed now on Paramount Plus, right? This is out now?
Yes, it's available now on Paramount Plus, and I feel great about it. I think people are really going to enjoy it.
And that's Finding Magic Mike, HBO Max, when can we see it?
Finding Magic Mike is on HBO Max starting December 16th. And leave some time. You're going to want to binge it.
So, wait, are you going to dance as a mentor too?
I am absolutely not.
What do you mean?
Come on, man.
That was part of the deal. I
mean, come on, man.
My dancing shoes are retired.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Thanks for coming on, Drew.
Thank you, Baba. We love you so much. We're so happy for your success and
please
your family.
Please get a real dinner now. A real dinner, not a Zoom dinner.
Yeah, come real, on. Man. Let's really make that happen. It would be so great to see you guys.
Yes, I would love it.
In person and the kids.
Please.
Be great.
I mean, honestly, yeah, whatever it is, a barbecue, something, you know, because Frankie wants to do tennis, which I know that Isabella was doing.
We talked about that, yeah.
Isabella is the girl. Yeah. Tell her to come over to one of the tournaments to check her out so she gets excited. Be great.
Is she playing in tournaments now?
Yeah.
She's playing and winning. It's insane. Like, I'm like, who is this girl that came out of me that is playing tennis?
It's nuts.
Oh, please, please. Like you're not competitive?
No, I am, but I never play tennis.
Yeah. All of a sudden, innocent. Oh, my God. This weapon that I created. Yeah. I have no idea.
Listen to me. I have created a bullet. I love it.
No, the apple does not fall too far from the tree. Animal. Salvaje.
Okay, well, that was, I can't believe it's been 5 years. We had to catch up with Adam by Zoom, but that was awesome. We got to see the kids.
We got to see Frank and Charlie and the baby boy.
He's got so much going on. I remember how much Adam is actually like me. He might have your birthday, but he and I are very similar in a lot of ways.
Are you guys? Let me
think.
We
are. There are a lot of ways that we're similar.
No, not really.
What? Wow.
Maybe there's a frugal.
I find Adam and I very similar.
I know. So does he. I love
him. We're similar personalities. Ever since I met Adam the very first time, like you said, we can both be alpha sort of males in a way, right? But he's just the easiest guy to chat with, get to know. He doesn't judge you. It's right away, he's just an open book, open arms. Let me be your friend.
I try to meet
new people the same way.
Yeah, you guys clicked since day one and it was beautiful. Beautiful to watch. So I'm glad that I was able to make that introduction.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I haven't seen him in so long.
I know.
I used to be with Adam all the time. I know. But you know what? Life is in the way. Marriage, kids, work. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult. But at least it's been constant. And I'm beyond happy that he's doing so incredibly well, and he's a family man and adores his kids, and Grace is just so beautiful, and Grace is like an angel. Grace walks like she's floating, you know, she's like an angel. It's beautiful.
It doesn't surprise me she could take on three kids at a young age because she has this old soul.
He's an old soul. Yeah,
great. Really mom. Great. Fun. Okay, so before we wrap this up, we wanted to get to a listener email, which we love trying to get to these as much as we can. Nish has asked us, Roz, I can see how the both of you are so different. What was the first thing that made you both gravitate to each other before having kids? And what about your relationship and one another made you choose each other and every day?
Nish, you're making me think.
That's, oh, wow. it's like my 10th wow of this episode.
That's too deep right now.
I shouldn't
right
have
now.
To...
So, okay,
think,
first,
what
that's
made
a
you
long...
gravitate towards me?
Besides
she's like,
you...
nothing, because you gravitated towards me. That was going to be the answer. Am I right? Nothing. I was in the VIP drinking, and you gravitated my way.
I wasn't drinking, first of all.
Oh, that's right.
You're the one that brought me a cranberry juice.
You gravitated my way.
Anyways, no, what attracted me, I don't know. At first, I was not even thinking about any of that because I was in a relationship. What attracted me afterwards, after I got to know him, was how loving and his amazing relationship with his mom. I was like, you know, this is a good guy. I want a good guy in my life.
That was it. That's all I got.
No, man, among many things, and then you're beautiful.
Wow.
So my mom sealed
the deal.
And your mom, yeah, Gwen did. And your chapstick. He had like a lot of chapstick when I met him, and he has big lips.
I used to get made fun of all the time about my chapstick. That's so funny you said that.
You did?
Yeah, because I'd wear like Carmex, whatever.
Carmex?
It is always like shiny.
No, but Carmex is not shiny. Carmex is on the matte side. You use something else.
No, that's what
it
I would
was shiny. That
no,
was like freaking MAC lip gloss.
The one that comes out of the tube is shiny. And I used to have, and my friends always be like, take your lip gloss off.
So isn't that funny? That's what I remember. Like, wow. Like lips, like.
Well, what like attracted me to Rosalind was, you know, first and foremost, and I've said this on the podcast, I got to be physically attracted to somebody. And I was like, wow, this girl's hot.
Because it's shallow and being.
She is hot. So then once I, got talking to her, it was, I think, so much of her giving nature. I think she is such a giver. And so she really wants to find a way to take care of everybody around her. And I think that was something that really, made me very excited.
Have I taken good care of you for 16 years?
You have. You have.
Oh, that's a first.
What in your relationship made you choose one another each and every day? You know, this is a different kind of question, Nish, because after 16 years, you start going, okay, each and every day, it takes
I can't
some work.
Stand her.
It takes some work.
Wow.
No, but I think
the truth comes out.
I think a lot of the same things, but I think one thing that's been very powerful in our relationship is being able to find the laughter ultimately, because through the ups and downs, through the tough times, like even, you know, as we started on this episode, we talk about Morocco, like we can still find ways to laugh. And that's something that I think you and I have always been pretty good at.
We do laugh. Thank you for making me laugh.
So you're like one note. Everything's one word. We do laugh. Well, that was a few words.
I'm a woman of few words. No, I'm not.
Definitely not. So anyways, I guess I answered your question. I don't think she has much to say about what keeps
together, also together every day.
Makes us choose one another every day.
Laughter. Our kids.
Yeah, our kids definitely. You have nothing kind to say about me at all.
Listen, Eric, for two seasons, all I've done is say really kind things about you. To the point that people even tell me that. Because, you know, you're so good to him. You really talk him up. Because I do.
Wow. Thank you.
I do.
Why are you laughing?
Anyways, Happy New Year, everybody. Until next week. He said, Ella Dijo. We love you guys. Love you.
Love you.
Subscribe to He Said, Ella Dijo on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.